Are you a lady in the streets or a freak in the sheets? Well, how about both? Get ready to ditch the good girl, bad girl mentality and own your power. Because you are far too complex and wonderful to ever be defined by lies like, a sexy woman is not a good mother. Or you should hide your true desires so your husband doesn't think you're dirty. Or you're a whore if she sleeps with him on the first night. Or one good girl is worth a thousand bitches. Well, thanks for that one, Kanye. Your worth is not defined by societal expectations or what you do with your body. And this interview with Fiona McCoss will help you to embrace your true, multidimensional self so you can rise above the outdated Madonna whore dichotomy. Fiona is a fearless siren and women's mentor who's helping women to befriend their inner bad girls. Keep listening to hear Fiona speak openly about the sacred slut archetype, how to meet her, why you'd want to, how to use her to heal body disconnect, how to overcome bad girl shame and nurture this powerful aspect of yourself. So whether this is your first time here or you've been here before, welcome. I'm Lisa Welsh and this is In Bed with Lisa. You're in the right place for conversations that are going to help you to access more pleasure in your life and have more fun in bed, because life is too short for mediocre sex. So without further ado, let's dive into today's conversation. Today, I'm very excited to have the beautiful Fiona McCoss with me. She is a women's mentor. She is just the sauciest person on Instagram. I adore her. Hello, Fiona. Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
See where it will go.
You too. Thank you. Fiona, please tell everybody who's watching, if they don't know who you are already, where are you in the world and what do you do?
So I'm on the furthest southwest tip of England, or the tippy toe of Cornwall. And I am, yeah, women's mentor. So I work with women and I help support them back into their bodies, to tapping into their radical empowerment, to turning the dial up on their pleasure, and to really activating and enlivening their sensual and sexual essences. And I work a lot with the feminine archetypes and the erotic archetypes. And yeah, it's so juicy. It's so, so juicy.
It is juicy. One of the things I love about you is how fearless you seem to be on Instagram. Would you say you're fearless?
It's so funny because somebody else said that to me as well. And I honestly, it's not like I set out to be like, okay, I'm going to put out this like radical post today or something. But it's like, I've got to a point now that I just literally do not care about what other people think. And, you know, I wasn't born like that. Oh my God, it's been a whole journey, of course, to get me there. So I really love that, you know, you can feel that fearlessness through the way that I show up. And also it feels so effortless for me. And so it's such a permission piece for everybody else to be like, I'm not special though. Like if I can do it, you can do it, she can do it, they can do it. We can all have this radical, wild, socket expression, yeah, where we have epic boundaries. And we're like, actually, you can have your opinion and I can have mine. And I don't need to be affected by what you think of my expression. I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. I have to say, it does inspire me. There are times, you know, we talk about similar things and yet you cross an edge. With the things you post, I think, what? I don't know, that really gives me a tingle. And I just think, girl, you've got some lady balls in there, because yeah, like it must take courage. Do you know what? Some of the things I'm trying to think, like, I wonder what would be one of like the most fearless posts that you feel, yeah, that I'm
gonna think of an example.
Cause some of the things that come to me that are like my rawest or realest, I'll be, say I can't sleep at night and I'll just have these like download that folder or just like thoughts, yeah, and I'll just like get out my phone and I'll just like type out a note that's like 4 pages long or something, kind of put my phone away and read it in the morning. And I'm like, whoa, like that was just like channeled like feminine like rawness, fierceness. And then I just like schedule it and I'm like, right, that's gonna hang out. And I literally don't think, oh, maybe I'll like check the typos or something. But it generally, the thing that I think are maybe viewed as like the most fierce come just through the most like pure in the purest way. I don't sit down and I'm like, oh, I need to put an Instagram post out today. Like, let me look for my like edgiest photos. It's like, what's the vibe? Like, I used to be a scheduler. I used to really think about what I was going to post. And then now, like, I don't think I've posted for like 2 days. And I've really got to the point now that it's like, if I don't feel it alive in my body, then I'm not going to post something about it. So I have like dozens of posts that I've written before, and then say I'll come to it even the next morning. I'm like, oh, that doesn't really feel true anymore.
Okay.
So I think the posts that carry the most like resonance, the most like fearlessness, are when I'm literally like in that fucking zone. I'm like, I just need to post it now, and it's going to be with this picture. And it's like, it carries that energy with it too.
It does.
And I think that is what can be felt.
Yeah.
And wow. If I don't feel that, I just won't show up. Like, I don't want that to be forced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. And once you get to that place where you can have that courage, it's almost harder to show up without that authenticity. Like it feels. Yeah, totally. And I used to do that as well, you know, and it's still like really feeding into the good girl. Like, oh no, I need to get the post out every day, or I need to be on video so that I can show my face so they know me. And I'll like, but that doesn't feel in alignment to what I want to do. Like, That sounds terrible. I just want to do what I want to do. I want to be a pleasure. I want to go for a coffee. I want to go for a walk. I don't want to be like, oh my God, I have to post a thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
So that they feel me. And then that the essence that will come through won't be the true essence. It's like the feminine is like loud. She's a flow. She's wild. She's chaos. She's not one thing that we can pin down. So it's like, if I have an idea of what I think I should post and I'm feeling the opposite, I'm not going to hem myself into like, okay, I have to put on the,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is so that I can like tune into my pleasure today. Hell, if I'm feeling like ugly and raw, then it's like, that's my vibe today.
Yeah.
Be one of the, you're just showing up as it is. I love that. And so you mentioned that you work a lot with the archetypes. Could you give us an idea of what is an archetype? What are the archetypes? How did that work?
So there's so many archetypes. They're all kind of coined by Jung.
Yeah, there are so many. And I did a program called the Erotic Feminine. So where we explored the sensual maiden, the sacred flat, the wild woman, and the tantric queen. There are so many. Those are also like erotic archetypes that I kind of like fashioned together as well. But archetypes are essentially like collective patterns and behaviors that we all kind of resonate with and drop into without necessarily having been taught them. They're like in the psyche, and we can see them patterned through like myths, legends. You know, if you think of like the great gods and goddesses, like they imprint our archetypes as well. And it's like the way that we view them is imprinted. So it's like, it's just innate wisdom that we carry in our psyches and in our bodies. So when we learn to, you know, say if you think of like a character in a book or a fairy tale that you really resonate with, like, okay, maybe that archetype is alive in you somewhere, or maybe that archetype feels dormant. There's something in you that stirs or that connects. So I connect really deeply with the wild woman and also the slut, the seductress. Like, they're very much my two dominant erotic archetypes, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so it's just really fun to bring the body and the mind together. So it's like we can think, you know, they're in the psyche, but it's like, how can we bring them into the body, into the expression of them and into the bedroom or just into our everyday living? How can we literally embody this like ancient archetypal wisdom, but in our own expression, in our essence? I love that. And the way I like to think of it, and you mentioned there, is like imagining it's like a character that you naturally have the attributes of. And sometimes by slipping on that character, you can give yourself permission to play up certain aspects in certain scenarios. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love the wild woman too. And so today I really wanted to talk to you about the slut. And you said the sacred slut, which is very juicy. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about this is because I think a lot of people watching are going to like think, slut, like why? Why would we want to be a slut? Like, there's a lot of negativity around that. And that's specifically why I wanted you to talk about this. Please tell us more. This is such a loaded word.
Yeah.
And I think I love to put sacred in front of it as well. Because it's like, it's even more of a reclamation. It's even more of a, let's take our sexuality out of the sin bin.
And let's remember that it is divine. Like, it is why we're here on this earth. Like, the union between two people is why we're here in this uniform. So,
yeah,
and, you know, remembering that, like, the innate life force that we have our ear off is, especially in women, it's like our creative life force. If we shut ourselves off from that, then life is going to feel so flat, so lackluster, so just terrible. And so what tuning into the sacred flat does is she really reconnects us to this life force within us. And she gives us that permission piece to be like, you know, you can wear your body the way that you want to. You can sleep with whoever you want to if it's landed in intention. If you, you know, you can have the orgasms and not need to have a reason why. And she's the breath of fresh air in a world that can feel so repressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like no sex before marriage, or your skirt has to be below your knee, or like your chops have to be up to your collarbone. And so she's like, well, I dare you to not wear panties on today, or I dare you to buy the sex toy. Or, and she, you know, we don't have to go 1 to 100, like, you know, sacred flat overnight, but it's like finding little ways to coax her into our lives. So that we can get more familiar with the potency of our own erotic nature, and remember how to celebrate like the sacredness of our, like the breasts, like the juiciness of our pussy, like, you know, really allowing the senses to open, and like, you know, what turns me on in life, and learning how to give yourself that too. So you don't even need to have a partner when you play with your sacred side. It's like she can play with herself. Just give yourself a mirror and you can have the best time. And it really can be so simple, but it's like getting yourself out of the way and, you know, doing the work on your own shame and kind of maybe doing some inner child work as well.
Yeah.
But she's in there. She's in all of us.
Even
girl wants to come out. Is she in every single one of us, even if we're a mom, even if we're a good wife, even if we go to church? Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. She's in, and we can pretend that she's not, but you know, we can read all the Bibles that we want. We can go to all the Sunday schools that we want. And, you know, maybe that was our upbringing too. And so she may feel harder to access. And there's a lot of deconditioning that has to happen, a lot of returning to the body and out of the mind, and getting comfortable with your sex as well, like really getting intimate with your pussy and your pleasure. And giving her permission to take up more space in your body, be like, it's okay, it's safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there are people or friends in your life who you feel might judge that, this is it's an excellent opportunity as well to like, well, where do I need to uphold better boundaries? Or maybe where do I need to do a little cleanse of my friend or my family? And be like, I'm lovingly setting this boundary because I really need to go and find this part of myself. And you may lose friends, for sure. She's this, like, sexy, dark, feminine archetype that not a lot of people are ready to see or reveal in themselves. So if you see somebody else doing it, it can feel really triggering or really activating. And, you know, it's so much easier to just like, no, I don't like that. Don't do it. Then actually turn the gaze within and be like, ooh, what is this person showing me within myself?
Yeah, absolutely. So then my question is, why would anybody want to connect to their inner sacred slut? Or why would anybody want to access the bad girl inside of them? If it's happily locked in a box, like, why would you do that? So I think maybe it comes down to like, well, how happy are you? You know, like, how confident do you feel? How great is your relationship? How great is your sex life? If you don't have a partnership, how great is your own sex life with yourself?
And if it's like, there's room for improvement, then finding the key to kind of open the box and like letting her come and whisper in your ear and maybe buying some lingerie that makes you feel good or whatever it is, you're going to notice your confidence is going to start to increase. Your happiness will increase. Your pleasure body will expand. And it's like, she really gives you. And again, it's like, there's a lot of work that we have to do to get to that point. It's not like we can read a book, we do a course. I'm instantly a sacred slut now. It's like, there are, depending on how we grew up and if we have any traumas, like we're all going to be on our own journey with this. But when you do tap into her, like, I can't even imagine what life was like before. Okay. She just gives you this like unapologetic, deep embodied love of your own body, of your own sexuality, of your own pleasure. And she gives you, in a sense, like a fearlessness to ask for what you want.
Yeah.
Because she knows her body best. And so if she goes into partnership or relationship with another, she's like, well, I know my pussy better than anyone else. So let me tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you how to lick it, how to put it in your face. And this may seem like, oh my God, way too much for some people, which I totally get. And it's not like, you know, 1 to 100 overnight. It's like, you know, maybe buying a pair of fishnets or maybe going to a fun pole dancing class with your girlfriend or watching a sexy movie with your partner. It's baby steps.
Absolutely.
And so what would you say to somebody who's feeling scared to like explore that side of their personality, or if they don't even want to believe that they have that side of their personality, what would you say is a good first step?
I would maybe kind of invite them to do some self-inquiry and some like straight up consciousness journaling around, like, write down everything you think a slut is. All the bad stuff, all the good stuff. Just write, pull your mind out onto the page. Don't think about it. What is everything you think of a slut? And then why don't you think you could be a slut? Or what judgments do you carry around sex workers?
Yeah.
Why do you think women who show their cleavage are bad or whatever it is? Just so that we can get really clear of like, oh, if I actually carry these judgments, which we may tell ourselves that we don't, but maybe when we see them on paper, we're like, oh, wow, that came out. I didn't realize that was in there. Yeah. Or you have a memory flash of like, your mom told you that your skirt was too short when you were little and she made you buy a longer one, whatever it is. But you've carried that imprint.
Yeah.
Of like, oh no, I'm going to look trashy if I have a skirt that's X centimeters long. So it's like getting really honest about what we carry and we, in our subconscious mind, actually affects what we think about these things or the way that we express ourselves. And then choosing to look at those beliefs and then rewriting them into like empowered beliefs, or like, I'm going to decide that those aren't mine. Those are beliefs that were just given to me or projected onto me. And I'm actually going to decide in this column, these are my new beliefs. And then you can start to bring them into the body and then play with the expression of them. But I think it's really good. Well, we have to kind of a really honest what's happening up here that's stopping our body having that expression of that essence.
Brilliant. I love it. And, you know, I think looking back on my own journey and embracing my own inner sacred slut, I think a lot of my stuff came around my relationship with my boobs, or the world's relationship with my boobs, because I just had massive boobs from a very young age. And the reaction that they got in the world was, it triggered people. It just triggered people, because no matter what I wore, they were there. And I'm a very short person. So I were treated like a slut by girls, you know, or called a slut, or called mean names when I wasn't sexually active. And I wasn't ready to have those kinds of identities put on me. And boys and men would shout words and names and compliments, and I suppose it's supposed to be compliments.
Okay.
And for me, that just threw me into the world of being connected to my inner sacred slut. And I'm being very scared of her because I wasn't ready for that archetype yet. And yeah, I went through a phase of just trying to hide my body, like hated the fact that my boobs thrust me into this other life. Until then, I almost swung to the other side where I was like, actually, like, I'm going to own this. And I'd kind of be a bit too cocky. And I went through like this kind of cocky phase of like, yeah, I'm amazing. My boobs are great. And then I went like a simmer down now into like this, you know, I've breastfed 2 kids and they're like not quite as punky as they were. But now I just wear whatever I feel like, bra or no bra, me and my boobs and my inner slut. Kind of, we went through a journey and now we're chill.
I love that.
And that, as you said, it's like that was your journey and my journey will be different. The person next door, their journey will be different with their son. And it's all about, you know, having the courage to go through the highs, the lows, the spirals, everything. And then ultimately you will meet her and she will feel
the way that she feels in your body, which will feel different to how she feels in my body and to the other person's body. And it's like really learning to play and dance with her and learning what her nuances is like, or are, and like learning what color she likes to wear, what smell she likes to wear, and what music she likes to play, to dance with, and, you know, enjoy herself with. And it's like, that's how it helps to kind of coax these aspects out of us.
Yeah.
Is kind of, you know, bringing in, like, I have this feather on my desk always, and it's not necessarily like connecting to myself, but it's just like having props around us always to help drop us into the body and into pleasure and to activate certain parts of us all the time are really helpful. Yeah. You know, if we're feeling wobbly at any time, or if we get like some shame come up, it's like, oh, you know, what are my practices? I'm going to put on my favorite playlist. I'm going to call her in, and we're just going to dance. I'm going to hold her. We're going to acknowledge some shame. You know, we're going to, maybe somebody said something, or maybe a memory came up, and it's like, keep integrating rather than pretending that these things aren't in our experiences. But it's like, how can I keep nurturing this aspect of my soul? Because of course, as we grow up and as we, you know, go through life, and if we have different partners or whatever happens, our experience will change, and the experience of prayer will change.
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh, what can you teach me today? Ooh, how do you want to move your body today? And that's like a constant exploration. It's fun and it
ebbs and flows. And some days
your slack archetype might be like more dormant, and maybe you want to be the wild woman, or maybe you want to be a priestess. So it's like playing with how you feel, right? And getting to know those different parts of you.
Yeah. And I love that you spoke to that as well, because I work a lot with layering on menstrual empowerment with everything. And if you don't bleed or have a womb, it's like you can work with the lunar cycle as well. And it's like understanding that we are not these linear robots that are just the same every day. We have wild emotions, wild highs, wild lows. You know, we can cry 1 minute, be in ecstasy the next. And it's really learning how to be okay with the constant shift in the feminine body and the feminine beingness. So, yeah, I love that you said, like, yeah, we'll maybe be a sacred slut today, or even this afternoon, we'll be an essential maiden, or we'll be asleep on the sofa and not feel sexy at all. And remembering, like, it's all okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make us any less than, it doesn't mean we've gotten it, but it's having also like a deep honoring itself to keep coming back to a practice. Or, you know, if you're like, oh, I haven't felt her in a while, let me take a look at my life. Like, you know, maybe what people am I around? What foods am I eating? What environment am I in that may be affecting her expression? How could I curate a safer or, you know, some more sexy environment so that she can come out and play more often? And just keep dosing up with loving compassion. Because, you know, it may feel hard sometimes. We may feel really unsexy for a while. I mean, I don't feel super sexy over winter because I get very cold and I wear all the clothes.
Yeah.
So for me, my sacred sex doesn't come out as much in the winter because I'm just like, no, I'm freezing.
Yes.
But in the summer when I have no clothes on, I'm like, oh, she's alive. And yeah.
We connect to South Africa. I think that's when I'm here. Yeah.
Okay, one thing to ask you is, I know you've given great advice on how we can tap into this part of us, our inner slut. But in the moment, right, say you are either alone, self-pleasuring, or you're with a partner and you're making love, can you at that moment consciously tap into your slut archetype? Would you recommend that? Is that a thing you can do?
I would say always and absolutely. Again, it just depends on like, what baggage you're maybe carrying around it. But if you are in a partnership, it could be really beautiful to invite them into this process of discovery. They'll be like, babe, I'm really curious about exploring my sacred slut. And also because they also may carry some shame around it too. Yeah. So it doesn't help if they project their shit onto you while you're in this beautiful process of expansion and embodiment, and then you share it with them and they're like, what is this?
Yeah,
I don't want to happen. It does happen.
Yeah. So it's bringing your partner in as well to be like, let's work on this together. You know, what maybe impressions do you have of this flat? Because I'm bringing like the sacredness into it and we can have a lot of fun with this. And then being like, what would you like this flat to give to you? Because she wants to share her body with the world. She wants to give her partner all the pleasure. Like, she's an exhibition and she'll show her body. She'll love her. And the thing is, she loves her body. So anybody with kind of any body disconnect, the slut is such a healing archetype, because at the end, she's like, I, no matter what size, color, shape I am, I fucking love my body. I feel so alive. I just want to give everyone pleasure. And in return, I will receive so much pleasure. Yeah. And so if you are in a situation of, yeah, solo lovemaking or lovemaking with a partner, and like consciously you're like, feel this energy building and building and I want to give, like, it's like, see if you can allow yourself to just lean in, because it can be so easy to shut, especially if we get stuck up here in the mind. Mm-hmm. But it's like, can you just send your breath down, breathe into your pussy, like, you know, she, you know, maybe give your titties a little shake, like really bring in these kind of, you know, bring the feminine attribute into the whatever you're doing. So like maybe stick your booty out, like arch your back, you know, rock your hips, just something to bring you back into the body and to really bring the eros up, and then just fucking go for it. Yes. And it really takes courage, but just like, it doesn't work out, then we can laugh about it at the end, or you know, it doesn't matter. But just it's not. It's like, let's just do it, babe. Do it. I want to come out. Yes, please let me. And open. It's like, oh, it's like role play, like on steroids. Like, okay, you know, especially if in your own mind, if your mind is like, if your mind tends to wander, it can be quite fun. Like I sometimes do this, like consciously. Okay, let's like, let's let the slap play right this second. My partner doesn't even need to know what's about to happen necessarily. And I don't even know what's about to happen. I just know that I'm activating that part. And then you just like, it's like a permission slip. Like, okay, yeah, this is still me. It's acting. It's like bringing that. It's like turning up the intensity of that thread, kind of.
Yeah.
And I think what she really loves is like, she's just so tapped into pleasure. And so if you give yourself more permission for pleasure, whoever you're sharing your body with is going to be like, holy fuck, this is incredible. And then in response, you're going to be like, whoa, I feel so good that I'm able to give you pleasure. And in return, they'll give you so much pleasure back. So it's like wouldn't you want to call that it?
Yeah.
Fiona, thank you. I hope that you've inspired anybody watching here just to like tap into their bad girl or bad boy or bad non-binary person. Into that other aspect that we kind of lock away and feel ashamed of, because it is so vibrant. It has got so much to give.
Ugh. Yeah.
Sure, that was hot. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. My biggest takeaways are that we are not one-dimensional, that we are not limited to just a good girl or a bad girl, and we are not defined by what we choose to do or not do with our bodies. So the world desperately needs us to stand up and own our true, full, erotic expression. No more playing small and slut-shaming ourselves and each other. It's time to live life on our terms. I really hope that you enjoyed this interview. Let me know in the comments below what your biggest takeaway was, and if there's something that you'd really love me to cover or somebody you would love me to interview. And before I go, if you'd like some more sexy content to help you have more fun in bed, head over to my website, inbedwithlisa.com/guide, to grab my free 56-page ebook called The A to Z of Fun Sex. It is 26 inspirational ideas that are going to make you want to cancel tonight's plans, so be warned. Thank you so much for sticking around, and I'll see you next time.